WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. It's certainly going to get warmer. That's on the horizon. And it's probably going to be the hottest day out of this heat wave we're going to have. Temperatures around 90 degrees, maybe even 95. And it's going to feel like a lot more than that. So hopefully you can stay somewhere where you will be cool. We'll do our best to keep you cool all day long. Although the talk might heat up because later on today, Chris McCarthy will be back and Barry Richard will be back. So Chris was under the weather. Barry was taking a vacation day, but they'll both return today to talk with you about a number of items. And of course, we've got a lot on the table as well at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And, there's, again, you know, always news stories that we can discuss. But there's a few things that I want to bring up today. And one of them is, so a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember how long it was. But I was hanging out with my friend, Stephanie Burke, and we were talking about our heritage. We were in Plymouth, so we were speaking specifically about her Mayflower lineage. And I said, you know, I've always felt like maybe there was some Native American in my lineage. And while I didn't have any proof of it, my aunt had mentioned that my grandfather's mother might have been part Native from Nova Scotia. And I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to get the DNA profile done. And she said, well, I've got a coupon for that because she's been doing genealogy for years. And she said, I have a coupon for that. So she sent it to me and I utilize it for Ancestry. And I got my results back yesterday and I was a little bit surprised by some of them. Although my mom said she wasn't, but maybe I'd been informed of some of this before and just forgot. Now, from what I understand, if I do the 23andMe, that's going to be a lot more precise and may reveal some things that the Ancestry didn't have and that the Ancestry may have been wrong in something. I don't know. But all I know is it's $200 for the 23andMe, and I'm not ready to pay that. Although in a text chain with my siblings yesterday, there was talk of maybe if everybody kicks in, because there's five of us. So if everybody kicks in $40, then, you know, we'll get a complete 23andMe profile. So maybe that's something we'll do coming up. But I did find out I'm apparently 15% Scottish. I knew I had family from England and Northwestern Europe. So that 21% didn't surprise me. I knew I had Ashkenazi Jewish in my lineage. So, well, I mean, I didn't knows precisely, but I knew, you know, Eastern European Jew was in my lineage. My great-grandmother was from Russia. I knew that. But the DNA profile, is as much as that was, you know, informative for me, it was when I started going and working on the family tree that it really kind of blew me away. First of all, just how far back it'll go. But I was looking at some of the relatives, And I was just wondering, and maybe some of you are genealogists, whether professionally or amateurly, not as a professional. And maybe you can explain to me, my aunt's profile is on here, and she came up as, I think it was like 6% Irish, but I have no Irish in me. Is that because that percentage was so small and there's a margin of error that it doesn't even show up for me? I don't know. But we definitely have family members that came from Ireland, which I had no idea. I knew we had folks that had come from Holland, from the Netherlands, but I didn't know that my mother's side of the family had relatives that had come from Germany. And I think I got back as far as the early 1500s. And that's just based off their suggestions of who it might be. I have to go back and, you know, actually verify everybody, but I was just trying to build out the map of where to go from there. And it was just fascinating. I also didn't realize that on my father's side, I have relatives that come from both Russia and from Ukraine. Which I guess makes sense, but I just never even thought about it. And I actually have far more German heritage on my mother's side than I do on my father's side. And Weisberg is a German Jewish name. So fascinating. And I'm sure I will go down the rabbit hole more on this. But also the deeper you dig, the more expensive it can be. Because, you know, when this period is over that I got the discount on, it comes out to like $180 after that. So it's not cheap, but it's certainly enlightening. But then how much of it is verified? Well, you can have Ancestry go through and verify it for you for an extra $10 a month. And, you know, there's all these different additions. But now I see why people who become professional genealogists do so well, because it's a lot of work. You deserve every dollar you get paid for it. But it was pretty fun to find things that I had no idea about, including, you know, connections to some of the prominent named families in New England. I shouldn't say prominent, but like names, not that, not a matter of wealth per se, but just a matter of recognition, a matter of a large number of them in the area. When I always thought our families were very small, that we didn't branch out very far. So it was very interesting to learn, and it turned into a huge rabbit hole that I fell down last night, because as I was trying to get out of here around 5 o'clock, the results came in. Next thing I know, it's 7:30, and I'm like, what am I still doing here? I completely fell down that rabbit hole, but it was fun and it was enlightening, and it's interesting for my family too. So the next family get together, probably in a couple weeks from my mom's birthday, I'm sure this will be the main topic of conversation. But I'd be interested in finding out, you know, as well with any of you, if you've done genealogy for your family, if you found some interesting things. I think as I go through and go deeper and deeper and figure out exactly who these people are, because there's a lot of them that do have records available. There's a few that I'm like, I'm not exactly sure this is right. There was one that looked like somebody's mother might have been 12 when she gave birth, which is entirely possible, I guess, when you're talking about the 1700s, but I don't like it. And it does feel a little bit like that just might have been a mismatch, that I got to go back in and verify that. Might have been 14. And I guess maybe 14 wasn't totally uncommon in those days. But in this day and age, you got to kind of take it out of the filter of this day and age, and you're like, I don't even want to think about that. But I can see why people, this becomes not only their hobby, but also their life's work, tracing their own family tree. Anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We had a very interesting discussion with Council President Burgo yesterday. If you missed it, it's on podcast. We didn't really get too much into the budget stuff, which is fine because we've still got time. It's still going to be debated in the Finance Committee, and then the Council isn't going to take a vote on these budget supplemental budget items until August 21st. So we have plenty of time to talk about it with Council President Burgo, and it's probably better to wait until after it's discussed in the Finance Committee, because then we'll have some news about it, some new information. But in talking about the situation with Market Basket and talking about the situation with the police department and its qualifications for citizenship, I'm sure some of you, you know, disagree with the things that the council president was saying. But one thing that I was reading some more of the stories about the Market Basket situation, and I think that there was some assumption that they had hired people that didn't have Social Security numbers or, you know, those worker identification numbers. But apparently, based on some reporting I was reading from, I think it was NBC 10 in Boston, had an article about it this morning. And according to that story, it was more of a matter of they could not produce the same paperwork that they used to get the job. So Market Basket, from the way that that's being reported, Market Basket, for their end, they did their due diligence. They got the paperwork that was required, and they saw it. Assuming, you know, they're on the up and up with what they're saying. So these folks don't have that anymore. And why is that? Is that because it expired, as, you know, Council President Burgo was saying, it has to be renewed? So it's not that they don't have the paperwork, it's that the paperwork is no longer valid. And then they have to go and validate the paperwork again. Or is it they physically don't have the paperwork anymore to show to Market Basket? To say, look, we got this renewed and all updated. Because maybe there was something where, you know, this person uses it and then this person uses it, but I can't imagine that that would work. So I think there's more to this, that when Market Basket makes a further statement, which they said they're reviewing the situation, but when there's a further statement, maybe we get a little bit more information in that regard, because it's starting to sound more like, you know, they did, unless, again, they might just be trying a little misdirection here, but it sounds like they did what they were supposed to do and got the required paperwork. And if the employee can't produce that paperwork now, I'm guessing it's that they can't produce valid paperwork, in which case, hopefully for a majority of those 47 individuals, they're able to just go get that renewed and go back to work. But Council President Burgo didn't seem to think that many of those 47 were going to be retaining their jobs. Also, just as a question to those of you who shop at Market Basket, have you noticed any difference in having 47 less employees? I was in there Sunday when I was coming back from Dash Laundromat. I thought I might stop and just get one of their pre-made meals to heat up for dinner. Didn't really find anything that I wanted. But the store seemed to be, you know, operating business as usual. Walked around and got a little bit of groceries and didn't notice any difference. So I'd be interested if any of you have 508-996-0500 app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We also have our new contest up for this week brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. We're giving away tickets to see Katy Perry in Boston. And she's going to have Rebecca Black with her. That was she sang that Friday song, I think, right? Is that the same person? And they're going to be performing at TD Garden. And we've got your chance to win tickets. You can enter at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. I know Katy Perry gets a lot of flack these days, but a lot of people still love her music, and she'll be performing it all. So you can enter at WBSM.com or the WBSM app, and we will pick winners throughout the course of the week. Right now, though, I've got to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in a moment with Phil Devitt, who is filling in for Mike Roberts. Mike has a day off. Great hearing Phil again here doing the news. And I love the fact, too, that even though Phil has gone on to a job that requires a lot of him, he's a producer now for the Mel Robbins podcast. If you're not familiar with it, it's one of the biggest podcasts in the world. Like, they recently beat out Joe Rogan Experience for the most downloaded podcast. I mean, this is the podcast, and he is one of the producers for that. So he got the opportunity to work in that position, and he was still doing the news for us for a little while, but then, you know, he has to drive to Boston and things like that. So he's got a lot on his plate. So then we had Mike Roberts, who's been here, by the way, you know, if you're not familiar, Mike Roberts has been with us here at WBSM and Fun 107 forever. He does a lot of work on Fun 107, producing their remote broadcasts, and he produces Town Square Sunday every week with Jim Phillips. Mike Roberts does a lot here on WBSM. And I didn't want to have to ask him to do something else, but he offered. He said, I'd love to do the news. So that's kind of the little behind-the-scenes story of what happened there. So, but Phil has offered to fill in whenever Mike needs a day off. So Mike was taking today off, and I said to Phil, you know, could you do it? If not, I can go with 5 minutes of ABC News. But he said, no, I'd love to do it. And anytime you need me to fill in, happy to do it. So with that in mind, let's turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
A New York skyscraper becomes the scene of a deadly shooting. Life-threatening heat creeps across the country, and this could be the key to lowering your Alzheimer's risk.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Five people, including an NYPD officer, are dead after a gunman opened fire in a Midtown skyscraper on Monday night. Authorities identified the shooter as 27-year-old Shane Tamura, who killed an officer and four others before taking his own life. The slain officer was Diderul Islam, age 36, praised as a true blue New Yorker. President Trump says the U.S. will set up food centers in the Gaza Strip. He met with U.K. Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Scotland on Monday to discuss the humanitarian crisis. The president expressed some uncertainty about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's claim that there is, quote, no starvation in Gaza. Trump's legal team is seeking an expedited deposition of Rupert Murdoch in his lawsuit, accusing the media mogul of defaming him in a Wall Street Journal article. According to the filing, Murdoch opposes the request, while the president's lawyers cited Murdoch's age as a chief argument to push for early testimony. He's in his mid-90s. Trump's $10 billion lawsuit stems from the journal's reporting on a birthday letter to late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump, meanwhile, continues to deny any wrongdoing tied to Epstein and his infamous island, as Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell calls on the Supreme Court to overturn her sex trafficking conviction. A heat dome is bringing life-threatening temperatures to millions across the nation's southeast. Portions of the southeast, including parts of the Carolinas, Georgia, and northern Florida, are under extreme heat warnings. And according to the National Weather Service, those states could experience feel-like temperatures of over 110 degrees. According to forecasts, dangerous conditions likely to persist until a cold front slowly advances in on Friday. Baseball Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg died Monday at 65. The beloved Chicago Cubs second baseman was a 10-time All-Star. His number 23 is retired by the Cubs. Sandberg had been battling prostate cancer. Football legend Deion Sanders says he was diagnosed with bladder cancer earlier this year. The University of Colorado coach made the announcement on Monday with his doctor. Sanders had his bladder removed and his doctor said he is now cured. Spirit Airlines doing more belt tightening. The Florida-based discount carrier said it'll furlough 270 pilots this fall as it reduces its off-season schedule to cut costs. The airline will also downgrade more than 100 pilots from captain to first officer as of October 1st. And several new studies being presented at the Alzheimer's International Conference in Toronto this week deal with reducing the risk of developing the brain disorder. One study conducted over 10 years shows that people in their 70s who walk every day can reduce the risk of cognitive decline. Another major study demonstrates the importance of healthy activities, including good nutrition, playing computer brain games, and socializing, in addition to exercise. The research was conducted across the U.S., and it's the biggest randomized trial to look at how healthy behaviors can protect your brain.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox have another game with the Minnesota Twins tonight out west. First pitch at 7:40, and hopefully no weather delays drawing this one out. And the Patriots training camp is underway in Foxborough, New England, practicing for the first time in pads on Monday morning. You'll love to see it.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're under a heat advisory through Wednesday evening here on the South Coast. Today, the hottest day of the stretch, a high of 95 degrees, feeling like triple digits away from the coast. Partly cloudy and cooling down to 66 overnight. Heat continues on Wednesday, topping out at 88 degrees before a cold front brings showers and storms on Thursday and Friday, leading to a comfortable weekend. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And that is One Headlight by the Wallflowers. And let's hope that if you're driving a school bus, it doesn't have one headlight. Well, I mean, I hope it does, but I hope it has another one too. And I hope they both work. And I'm sure they will. But you could be driving that school bus. You could be driving a van. You could be a bus monitor. You could be a bus mechanic. They're looking for all those positions right now at Tremblay Bus Company. They desperately need school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. And it's a great job for retirees, for stay-at-home parents, or anyone looking to earn great pay while supporting local students. And if you are not licensed to drive a school bus, if you don't have your CDL, they're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. So if you want to find out more, all you have to do is go to tbcbus.com. TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. All the information is right there. You can either apply online or all the information is there about where to go to apply in person and the hours that they're open. And you could be helping kids get to school maybe even as soon as this fall. Again, tbcbus.com. Join Tremblay Bus Company today and help our kids get back to school. And really, it's right around the corner. I'm sure many parents out there with school-age kids are counting down the days. But do you remember when you were in school, like, you got out of school and you were, I think most of us probably got out earlier than kids do now? I seem to remember, like, I don't remember being in the June 20s and being in school still. At least not in elementary school days. Maybe by high school. But that was the, you know, you'd be like in finals week. And depending on when you had a final, you might be able to not have to go to school if you didn't have a final on a particular day. So it was, but I seem to remember it being more like by the 17th, 18th, 19th, you were done. And then if you had snow days and you're into the 20s, you're like, oh man, now it's only going to be like less than 2 weeks before the 4th of July. But for some reason, that was like the corner turning for me, was like 4th of July. After that, I was counting down. You know, that was when it started to feel like summer was waning. Usually it was, you know, if we can get to the Brockton Fair, then everything after the Brockton Fair would feel like summer was winding down. But then I always would say, well, but we've still got the Marshfield Fair in August. That's when it would really start to feel like time is running out on summer. That was kind of like our one last big summer hurrah. Now, I don't even know when they have that anymore. I haven't been since my son was like 5. But that was kind of my markers for the summer. But we also never went to school in August either. We would always start after the first weekend in September usually. I mean, now the calendar gets crazy. You might have the kids go to school for like Thursday, Friday, and then you have Labor Day weekend off. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I guess, you know, smarter people than me are figuring out that calendar to make sure they get in their 180 days and all the required time that they have to be in school. Anyway, 508-996-0500. So I want to share with you this story that is, I don't know how I feel about this, because this seems like it was just a dumb thing that turned into criminal charges. So this comes from ABC6. The North Providence Police Department said a town employee was arrested after he allegedly poisoned a coworker at the Department of Public Works building in late June. So what happened was, this guy who works for the Department of Public Works in North Providence, Alessio D'Andrea, he's 29 years old. As a prank, he filled a Gatorade bottle with windshield washer fluid and put it in the fridge at the building's repair division. Now, for those of you who don't drink Gatorade and maybe haven't seen Gatorade on the shelf, you're like, Gatorade? Gatorade's green. Yes, original Gatorade was like lime green, and it only came in the lemon-lime flavor. That was the original Gatorade invented at the University of Florida. Right? That's the Gators. So the company in the 90s started going crazy with all different kinds of flavors. And then in the 2000s, we got Gatorade Frost. I think that was the name of the line. It was like all these like lighter blue type colors. So they do have Gatorades now that would look just like windshield washer fluid. And so this person, an employee, went and opened the fridge, opened up the bottle, started drinking it, but immediately realized that it was not Gatorade. Coworkers then told him that he drank windshield washer fluid and that it was supposed to be a prank. Well, this ended up turning into criminal charges against the guy who filled it up with the windshield washer fluid, because two employees watched it happen. The victim went to the hospital. He stayed for a day and a half for observation. And then after an investigation, North Providence police arrested D'Andrea, I guess yesterday. And he's been placed on unpaid administrative leave. And he's probably going to get fired, I would think. Now, this is not the smartest prank to try to pull, because you could kill somebody. I don't know how poisonous windshield washer fluid is, but this guy probably didn't know either. And it sounds like just a dumb thing, but now he's going to face criminal charges over it and likely lose his job. And so I'm just going to ask, was there a prank that a coworker played on you that you felt went too far? When I worked at the diner, we had all kinds of pranks that we would play on new employees. You know, mostly innocent stuff, though. Send them downstairs to find the sponge repair kit in the basement. Send them down to the walk-in to get the bucket of steam. You know, just silly things like that. But one thing that we would do, it was kind of an unwritten rule that you shouldn't mess with somebody's food. But one of the things that people would do is if you drank Sprite, and a lot of the kids that worked there did, or maybe even just water, but anything that was like a clear liquid, they would go and they'd put salt in your drink. So if you had a, if you went and poured yourself a glass of Sprite, and we had a pretty sweet deal working at the diner. We paid $2 a day for food out of our paycheck, and you could eat or drink whatever you wanted. Now, the boss would usually give you crap for how much you ate, but or how much soda you drank or whatever, but you could eat or drink whatever you wanted for $2 a day. And so kids would, you know, pour themselves a Sprite and have it over by the dishwasher while they're washing dishes. And then somebody else would come over and pour a bunch of salt in it. So when you went and took a sip, it was like, yeah, this is all salty. Well, one day, one of the kids took it a little too far and put dish soap in there. It was the 90s, so everything was clear, you know, the days of Crystal Pepsi and all that. So we had clear dish soap, and he put some clear dish soap in there. And so the other kid went and drank it, and spit out soapy-tasting Sprite. Now, that's terrible because it takes forever to get that taste out of your mouth. But, I mean, he, first of all, it's non-toxic. But also, he realized pretty much right away as he put it to his lips, like, there's soap in this. But then to get back at the other kid, he put bleach in the other kid's drink. Like, what are you doing? You could kill him. Literally, that will poison him. And he was fully intent on letting him drink it. So, yeah, I've seen things go too far. One of our most common pranks, everybody got it as soon as they started working there, if they were a dishwasher or maybe even some of the cooks, if you weren't an adult, but you got your first pair of earmuffs. We called it getting muffed. You got your first pair of earmuffs, which would be, we would take an English muffin, cut it in half, not a cooked one, you know, but just cut it in half. And then we had the big tubs of whipped butter. We whipped butter ourselves to put on people's toasts and all that kind of stuff and to put on stuff we were grilling and everything. So we always had, cooks always had a big bucket, a big tub of whipped butter in front of the grill. And so you took that and you slathered the English muffin with the whipped butter and you came up behind the new employee and you stuck them on their ears and gave them a pair of earmuffs. So then they would have all that whipped butter stuck in their ear and it would get inside the ear canal and in their hair. It was very gross, but it was kind of like a rite of passage. Eventually we stopped doing all this stuff, but for years we did it. That was innocent enough. It was gross, but like nobody really got hurt. But putting bleach in someone's drink, too far, just too far. All right, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. And my brother, who is listening on his way to work, has requested a correction for the record. When I said no one got hurt at the diner, I meant no one got hurt from the earmuffs, from the muffs. My brother did get hurt at the diner from some wrestling in the kitchen that went bad. So, but now you've got that $1 million smile. But yes, a prank gone wrong in North Providence. A man puts windshield washer fluid in a Gatorade bottle. Someone else drinks it. And now that man faces criminal charges and maybe losing his job. So I'm going to ask the question, what's the worst prank anybody's played on you at work, or maybe even in general? Because there are some that just go too far. And I think putting windshield washer fluid in a Gatorade bottle definitely does that. Unless, you know, somebody was about to drink it and then you were like, hey, smell that first. I'm like, no, this doesn't smell right. Yeah, it's windshield washer fluid. You almost drank it. Like, that be all right. But letting them drink it, come on. And the other two people, what I want to know is the other two people watched it happen. Why aren't they being held responsible? Why don't they catch any flack for not stopping it from happening? Because they were probably sitting there thinking it was funny too. But anyway, 508-996-0500. We can talk about that. We can talk about some of the other news. Of course, the horrible tragedy in New York that happened last night. Details still rolling in on that. But five people killed. Just horrendous. Let's take a quick call here, and then I've got one more break I've got to get in. But what's on your mind?
Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to tell you what I did. I just tuned in, but when I was little, I was getting babysat by my sister's boyfriend was there, and I put glitter in his milk.
Ooh.
And drank it. I know, I was a bad, and he drank it, but I cried afterwards, and I told the truth, but he had already drank it.
I mean, I'm sure it didn't really hurt. I mean, that's just paper, really.
I don't know. You know how kids do things when they want attention. I wasn't getting enough attention.
Well, if anything would get attention, it would be that, I would think. So you got in trouble for that?
No, I cried, and then I told the truth. That I said, I put glitter in your milk. Are you going to die?
He says, no, but I'm going to have some spectacular poops coming up. That's for sure.
Oh, but before you hang up, the other lady I listened to on YouTube that she preaches, she said that her husband put Dawn in her coffee cup and she didn't know and she drank it. And he put a lot of Dawn in there and she said she had, you know, bubbles all day long.
Oh man, I've tasted way too much soap in my life to I know what that feels like, so I feel bad for her. All right, well, thank you for the call.
Thank you. I'll be listening.
Have a good day.
You too.
Got to get this one last break in. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news coming up. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. And we can also take app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Again, don't forget, brand new contest this week up on the website.